thankful for the blessing of being able to come and gather together in this place once again. This past weekend, I had the privilege of being up in Wiggum, Georgia to speak at the annual meeting at Trinity Primitive Baptist Church, and had the privilege of being with Brother Franklin Bryant while I was up there, and he said to make sure that I tell all of you that he loves you and want you to be in prayer for him. He's just suffering infirmities that come with age. Want to pray for him. And also got to visit with Brother John Mizell a little bit, but glad to be back here this morning. And if you want to turn with me, we'll be in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 9. We're going to take up kind of where we had left off on our Wednesday evening services, but what a wonderful blessing that we have recorded for us the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And men, if you want to see a proper example of what a father is to be, just follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what we find in the Gospel of John is that things continue to ramp up, and the opposition and the enemies of our Lord, they continue to grow. And what a wonderful example Christ gives us in the face of those that misunderstood and misrepresented him. He continued to remain faithful to the things of God and answered the questions from those that opposed him in a wonderful way. And all around we have the example of what we ought to be as men through Jesus Christ our Lord, how we ought to treat children, how we ought to treat women. What a wonderful blessing. But this morning I want to speak for a little while from John chapter 9. And, you know, it's no big secret. There's some passages of Scripture that as a preacher, I'm more excited to preach than other portions of Scripture. There's just some difficult portions of Scripture that God requires us to speak from. But John chapter 9 is one of those great passages of Scripture that really encapsulates what we believe as the truth of God's Word. And what we're going to see in John chapter 9 is a great miracle from our Savior where he heals a man that's blind. We have a man that was blind, but when our Savior is finished with him, he has sight. He's able to see. And this comes on the heels of, again, though many were misunderstood about who Jesus Christ was, and there were those that were openly opposing him. And this is all going on here in John chapter 9, around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, where many of the Jews had gathered together in and around Jerusalem. And he had made some strong statements in the preceding verses. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, he exclaims that he is the light of the world as that feast is winding down. He makes the proclamation to those that are gathered there that he was the light of the world. And in the prior chapter, as they're going through the ceremonies surrounding that feast, he shouts and proclaims, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink." And these statements, they started this debate between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Jesus about who he really was. And they had some very insulting things to hurl at our Savior about who he was. They claimed that he was one that had a devil. He was one that was possessed of the devil. They questioned his sonship. They thought that he was one that was born into sin. And it's very interesting, at the latter part of John chapter 8, Jesus Christ, again, he answers them, and it's amazing. He, as the Son of God, he has always has the right answer to them. And in verse 52 of John chapter 8, they say unto him, "Now we know thou hast a devil." He says, "Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death." And they ask him, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Art thou greater than thy father Abraham and the prophets which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" So in the midst of this debate, the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious elite of that day, they're really saying to Jesus, "Who do you think you are making these outlandish statements?" And Jesus goes on, and the highlight of those statements, he says that in verse 56, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Another bold proclamation of who he was. He was verily God. He was the Son of God. And they questioned him on that further. They said, "You're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham?" They were still thinking, "Man, you're out of your mind." And then Jesus says in verse 58, "Verily, verily, of a truth I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And this enraged them. They took up stones with the intent of killing him. The Bible says Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple. It says he went through the midst of them and so passed by. Well, how did that come about? How did he just escape from the midst of them? I don't know. You know, we're talking about the Son of God. I don't know how to explain it, but the Bible says he did it, so I believe that he did it. And then we get to John chapter 9. And I want to read just the first eight verses of John chapter 9. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in light of the context that we've already set. And we're going to see the wonderful blessing of Jesus making the blind able to see. Verse 1, it says, "And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And verse 6 said, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Verse 8 says, "The neighbors therefore and they which had before seen him, which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" What a wonderful blessing. This reminds me of a game that we used to play when I was a kid. It was called Blind Man's Bluff. This was a game where it was basically a game of tag where you were blindfolded and went around feeling around trying to make somebody else try to tag them. That was before cell phones and video games. That's how we entertained ourselves in the dinosaur days. But for some reason, this man makes me think about that. Here was a man that was blind. Here was a man that was there at the gates of the temple. And we see in what we've read that this man was a beggar. But I believe this man was also here because he had some desire for some kind of human interaction. But he was there and he was begging. And what a wonderful scene we have here. We have a wonderful opportunity where our Savior comes and he delivers this man from darkness into light. Now we have what literally happened here and what an incredible miracle this is. He delivers this man that was blind, and this man is able to see after our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords heals him. And what a wonderful blessing, what a wonderful miracle this is. Now, if you're keeping up in the Gospel of John, this is the sixth miracle that Jesus has performed. We've spoken about those miracles on Wednesday night, but we have what's on the surface of these miracles, but I believe it speaks a little bit deeper about what was going on during that time. And I think what we have here with this miracle is we have this wonderful contrast again between darkness and light. And I'm thankful that everywhere our Savior went, he blessed the darkness to turn into light. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Yeah. And I want to tell you, even in the day that we live in today, our Lord is still the Lord of light. But what a stark example he gives us here of a man that was blind, but now he can see because of the miracle of our Lord. And again, this miracle is performed here in an area where there was quite a bit of spiritual darkness. And even after this miracle, there are those that still are in spiritual darkness. But what a wonderful example we have here. We go back to verse 1. The Bible again says, "And as Jesus passed by, as he was exiting out of that temple, we see that he sees this man, the Bible says, which was blind from his birth." What a condition to be in. I've known individuals that due to the infirmities of age have lost their sight. I've known younger people due to some sort of accident or some kind of congenital defects will lose their eyesight after a period of time. But this man, his case was an extreme case where he had never seen the light of day. Here was a man that never had any kind of memory of being able to see anything. And what an opportunity he is provided here. And notice what happens as we go on in verse 2. His disciples, perhaps they knew this man. Maybe this man had made a habit of being there by the temple and begging of those that came to the temple and interacting with them there. But notice the question that they ask in verse 2. They ask and say, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" We look at that question today and we may think within ourselves, man, that is the most incompassionate, the most harsh, the most cruel question that could be asked. But we have to be careful. I think sometimes in our carnal nature we'll do the same thing. Well, they must have done something to deserve that. Well, that was the common school of thought amongst the religious elite of that day. If you had some sort of great illness, if you were born with some sort of defect or some sort of disability, either you or your parents must have done something to cause the judgment of God to come down upon you to have that thing. I think it's interesting that Jesus just brushes this aside. But let's think about that for just a minute. You know, what happened was many of those Jewish elite, they took some of the Old Testament scriptures and I believe misapplied them and came up with this idea. You know, in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Exodus, and I think in Leviticus and Numbers, the Bible does talk about the iniquity of the fathers being visited unto the children. The Bible says to the third and fourth generation. And they had interpreted that to think, well, maybe his parents did anything. Now understand, when God was speaking to his people Israel, when he made those statements in the Old Testament time, I believe he was talking about a national or a corporate application. He was speaking to the nation of Israel that if their decisions are dishonoring to God, it's going to affect future generations. I believe that to be the case today. I believe that we're making decisions today that are going to affect future generations in this country. That's why we have to be so careful with the decisions that we make. But I don't think that they interpreted things correctly to say this man was born blind because his father or his mother did something to deserve it. Right. Now, we do want to be careful, though. Can our behaviors affect our children? As Brother David said, you know, our children, they get a conceptualization of God by our behavior. If we live sinful lives in front of our children, it's going to influence and affect our children, rightfully so. But let me say this, God never punishes another person for the sins that you commit. And we need to understand that. You know, there can be consequences because of your sins that affect other people, but God's not going to punish you for sins that your father committed or your grandfather committed or your mother or your grandmother committed. Well, there's the other part of that as well. Well, did this man do something to deserve this sin? Well, that's a ridiculous question to think about. He had this illness before he was even born. But there were some of those Jewish teachers that really had some bizarre ideas. Some of them almost believed in a concept of reincarnation that spirits could leave one person and go to another person. And they believed that You know, that could affect behaviors while in the womb. Some of those Pharisees, they thought that you could sin while you were in the womb. So the people were just following the errant teachers of those around them. Well, I want to tell you, my friends, neither one was true. And Jesus just brushed it aside. And that's what we're going to do from that point on. But I want you to understand, the sins that your parents commit, God's not going to judge you from those sins. Don't let the actions of past generations in your family determine the course of action that you take in your life. But as we go on, what we see happens here is that we have this occasion here, this man that was born blind, this man that had never seen the light of day. What it does provide is an opportunity for the glory of God to shine through. Now, it doesn't say here that God caused his blindness, but get this man's disability, this man's troubles provided an opportunity for the power of God to shine. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to say here. And I want to say this to you this morning. Maybe you're going through some sort of great difficulty similar to this. Maybe you're going through health issues that have gotten you down and you're wondering, why am I going through this? Well, we may not know the whys here this side of glory, but I want to tell you, every difficulty that we have in our life is an opportunity for God to manifest His grace and His power in our situation. And that's what Jesus says here in verse 3. He answers and says, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." What he's saying here, there's about to be a miracle that's going to be performed right here. And what a blessing. We ought to view the challenges of our life in that lens, that here is another opportunity for God to show his power, God to show his omnipotence, God to show his glory, and his glory to shine through my situation. So as it goes on in verse 5, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Again, we have that theme that continues. He says, while I'm in the world, I'm the light. I'm going to let my light shine. And here it goes. It says in verse 6, "When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay." We have a miracle that is performed here in the most unusual way at all. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning, it's kind of gross. I work with individuals that sometimes their behaviors get out of control, and every once in a while somebody will want to spit on me. I think I'd rather have you slap me in the face than spit on me. But here is this opportunity, and the Lord uses this most unusual way to heal this man with spit. He spits on the ground and rolls it up into some clay and puts it on this man's eyes. That's interesting. That's fascinating to think about. Kind of gross, but amazing. It's amazing to me to think about there's more power and one little bit of spit from our Savior than all the other men that have ever lived in this world. Contrary to what the so-called faith healers on television will tell us. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's not gross. That's amazing. Yeah. It's more power in just a little bit of spit of our Lord than any other man here in this world. Right. But he spits. You say, well, why spit? Well, there's some interesting things about spit. In ancient times, many folks thought that spit contained a portion of the life of an individual. You say, well, that's odd. Well, I think that they were on to things back then that maybe we're just catching on to again. You know, is there some sort of light? Is there some sort of life? Is there some sort of significance in our spit? Well, there is when you think about it. Several years ago, as a gift, my wife bought me this 23andMe genetic test. Anybody had that done? That's fascinating. What it is, you send in some of your DNA, and they can map your genes and tell you who you're related to. And what do they do? Well, they use your spit. Got that test, and I spent 15 minutes making enough spit so they can see where I came from. You know, and then you find out people you're related to, and sometimes it surprises you who you're related to. But what is it? There's a portion of me, there's a portion of DNA in that spit, and they send it back and get all your cousins and all over the world and so forth. You may want to know that, you might not want to know that. But I want you to see the picture here. They believe that there was some part of that individual in the spit, and here we have Jesus Christ taking this spittle, rolling it up in some clay, and bringing light, bringing life where there was darkness. And what a wonderful picture. The spittle of our Savior, and just this little miracle here, gave this man sight. Here was one that was blind, but now he could see. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that ring true? Like I said, this is one of these messages that, this is a primitive Baptist message, because this is a message of the power of God. You know, does it sound familiar when you think back and while you go think back to Genesis chapter 2? You know, from the ground, man is created. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says that the Lord formed the man out of the dust of the ground. He fashioned Adam from the dust of the ground. Adam's name literally means ruddy or red. That gives us a clue into what Adam looked like. Adam wasn't as white as I was. He was probably looked a lot like Georgia clay. But in creation, man was created from the dust of the earth. And now we have, you know, by God. And now in John chapter 9, we have the Son of God. We have Him from the dust of the ground doing what? Recreating man, restoring that which was fallen, and bringing light to that which is dark. Another testimony that this was verily God. The one who created Adam from the dust of the earth is the one that brought us from spiritual darkness into spiritual light. And what He shows here is His power. He's the creator and He's the recreator for His children, and quickening us and bringing us from a state of spiritual death into a state of spiritual life. Oh, my friends, in the spiritual sense, though, He didn't use His spit. It was His blood that saved us from our sins. And I'm thankful that He applied it to us, His children, that were in spiritual darkness. And I'm thankful we've been saved from eternal darkness. And now as God's children, we'll enjoy eternal light and His glory forevermore. And here it was, in His spittle, He anoints the eyes of this man that was blind, and this man was delivered. What a great spiritual application. That's what He did for us. He, through His blood, saved us from our sins. Those of us who were dead in our trespasses and our sins, He has raised us to a newness of life. He's given us light and life through His blood. What a wonderful blessing that is. What a great example it was to those that were just, many of them, clueless as to who Jesus Christ was. He says, you want to see an example of darkness being turned into light? Here was a man that was blind, and now he sees. But sadly, they still didn't get it after that. We don't have time for that this morning, but they still didn't get it. I hope we get it this morning, though. So He heals this man. In verse 7 it says, and they said, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. The Bible says he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Some people will try to make the argument here, well, this was the man. The man had this responsibility to go and do the rest so that he could see. No, that is not correct. Jesus Christ had already done the healing. He had already done the healing. And I think what was going on here was that Jesus Christ wanted this man to be seen by those that were gathered there. And he wanted them to see this miracle that had been performed. So He sends him to the pool of Siloam. And there's an example for us. And the example for us is, if Jesus Christ has saved us, and if he has brought us from that state of spiritual darkness into a state of spiritual life, we ought to obey Him. The point we need to get from here is, this man did what Jesus said. And that's what we're to do as the saved. We're to obey Him. I'm thankful for those that have shown us that over the past few weeks that have united with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe this to be the truth of God, if you believe that He did die for you and saved you from your sins, obey Him. Go, be baptized. And I'm thankful for those examples from the young and from the older that we've had here. But He goes, and the Bible says He came seeing. That's amazing. Even in 2019, with all of our medical technology, you know, there's individuals today, you know, they can do many, many amazing things as far as our optics, as far as our eyes. You know, they can push back some of the degeneration that occurs with age. They can correct our vision in amazing ways. But there's just some things, as far as the eyes go, that even modern medical technology can't reverse. I've got folks that I assist in our school system that I love to death, that they have some of these congenital issues that there's just nothing modern medicine can do to stop it. But I'm thankful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ transcends the things of this world, and He shows us in this great example here that here was one that was blind, but now he could see. But I think what we see here in this miracle as well, He is once again giving a tangible example of the blindness of those that were around Him. You know, the religious leaders of that day, it's not stretching it to say that they were just spiritually blind. You know, we've mentioned this on Wednesday nights, the ones who were the most educated, the ones who should have been the most anticipatory and the most cognizant of people, of that the Messiah was coming and that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, they missed it. They were spiritually blind. It reminds me of what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. In the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, He makes the point. He says, the light of the body is the eye. He says, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. He says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, the established religion of that day was in darkness, and it sowed confusion amongst all the people. And He performs this miracle. And I believe it just, again, puts an exclamation point on, here were a lot of folks that were in darkness. But I'm thankful. You know, and we have that picture of Him coming out of that temple where we had those individuals that were in darkness, and we have Him performing this miracle of bringing light from where there was darkness. What a wonderful contrast that is. Amen. I'm thankful that's the Lord we serve. And there's a message in that as well. We have to be careful what teachings we follow in this world. Because there is a lot of darkness in this world. From every avenue that you can imagine, there's darkness. And we have to take heed as God's people, because I believe that there were those that I believe were God's children that had come under this dark influence of those scribes and Pharisees, and it affected their judgment, it affected their ability to think. But oh, what a message here. There was light there in the darkness. I'm thankful everywhere our Savior went, He could turn the darkness into light. He's done that for us eternally. But I want to think for just a minute. That's a wonderful here and now application as well, isn't it? In the darkness of this world. There was a book written several years ago. If I remember correctly, the title of it was The Dance of Hope. It was written by a man. I believe his name was William Frey. And this man is just chronicling how God blesses in the midst of great trials, in the midst of great difficulties. And part of the book deals with God, God coming in opportunities of darkness and bringing light. And the author chronicles a young man that he tutored. I believe the man was in college at University of Colorado, and he tutored individuals. And the people that he worked under at the college, they paired him up with another young man that was blind, that was visually impaired. To tutor him while he was in college. The young man this was several years ago, and the young man had disabilities, and there were just things that he wasn't able to do because of his disability. And And the author would tutor this young man, and he became greatly impressed with this young man. Finally got comfortable with him to the point where he started asking, well, how did you become blind? Young man said, well, as a child, I had this terrible accident, and as a result of that accident, I went blind. And then the young man, I think his name was John, went about telling him what happened after that. He said, I became very angry. I became very, very bitter because of this blindness. And all I would do would just keep to myself. I'd stay in my room and I'd only come out just on rare occasions and come out to eat. And John relates that in the midst of this, as he got older, his father came to him one morning before work and said, son, it's getting winter time, and I've got some chores that I want you to do outside before winter comes and we can't do the chores. And John says that his father asked him to put up the storm windows before winter came in. Now, mind you, this was a young man that was blind. And John relays that he just thought his father was insane. What on earth are you asking of me? How dare you ask me this? I'm blind and I can't do anything. And John said, well, his dad said, I want you to do it, or there's going to happen when I get back home. Your dad ever told you that? So John says that he starts fumbling around, and he goes out, and he fumbles around and gets the ladder. He says while he's doing all of this, he's cursing his father and cursing his situation and just angry. He said the whole time he was just as mad as he could be. I'm blind. How dare them make me do this? And it'd serve them right if I fell off this ladder and broke my neck. And he said, I kept doing that and kept doing that. And said, eventually, I got to the last storm window and I got them up. He said, after that I went back to my room. He said, I started thinking about all that had just happened. And he said, there was a wonderful blessing of realization that in spite of my difficulties, in spite of my disability, in spite of all of my troubles, there were things that I could do in spite of that. And he said, what really struck me was after the fact, sometime later, said, I realized that my father, he didn't go to work. He was just a few feet away from me all of the time that I was doing these things. And the illustration there was I think that you probably get it. What a wonderful blessing that as God's people, you know, we're going to have dark times in this world. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have trials. It may not be physical difficulties, but we may be going through spiritual struggles. We may be going through battles and spiritual warfare that other people can't see. Well, with John, the one that the author was writing about, this was a turning point for him, and he would later go on and acknowledge the blessings of God. But what he found out was that there were things that he could do because he had one that was able to help him, one that was able to catch him when he fell, one that was able to guide him. My friends, as God's people, we have one that's not just a few feet away. We've got our Heavenly Father who has promised to never leave us or never forsake us. So what's your struggle this morning? I want you to know God is there. Yeah. I want you to know that the battle has been won. The ultimate battle for our eternal life was won on Calvary's cross. And again, the good news for us today is that the bringer of light, he is here with us today. Yeah. He is with us. He's as close to us as our next breath. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful thought. Eternally speaking, we were once blind, but now we see. And even in the here and now, where it seems like the darkness of this world would overwhelm us, our Father is right there with us. We can do great things in the name and by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing.
I think it'd be a great time to sing, I once was blind, but now I see. Are you all okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Well, I prayed that the Lord would allow us to draw near to the Savior.